I'm taking my message this morning from the words of our Lord Jesus, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. That's in Matthew 24:32. I announced my subject, the judgment of Almighty God. Everywhere you turn today, people are talking about the conditions and the crime, the dope, and they killed, they tried to kill a clergyman in Philadelphia this week, but God spared his life. But every time you pick up the paper, the first several items is that somebody's been shot, or some policeman's been killed, or something else has happened. And there's a certain degree of insecurity and uncertainty on every hand. But what we have here, as Jesus spoke about the days of Noah, is a reference to the destruction of the whole world except Noah and his sons. The whole human race was totally destroyed. Now these chapters in Genesis, the liberals have all said that they were just myths, that these stories were made up, they were not true, and we need to go by them. But the first thing I want to say is, when Jesus mentioned the flood, it was a real flood. We're dealing with the Son of God, who knows all things. And when the disciples asked him, what would there be a sign of his coming? And he gave these various signs. And then he said, furthermore, it'll be like the days of Noah. So there was a Noah. There were the days of Noah. And there were these conditions. I just think it's marvelous that Jesus, who knew everything and was the Son of God, would put his hand of approval upon these passages where all these liberals say they're just myths. They're not. And I was especially grateful that he spoke of the early chapters of Genesis. He said, have ye not read that he who made them in the beginning? Well, where do you read it? Genesis 1. Genesis 2. That he who made them in the beginning made them male and female, and they didn't come from monkeys. Now I'm going to talk about that as I get into the details of the outline of the message for you today. But Jesus intended for us to look at the flood and what happened in those days. Have you not read? As it was in the days of Noah. All right, let's go back to the days of Noah. And so God intended for his saints, and all through these centuries, God's people have read these words of Jesus where he said there was a Noah, and there was a days of Noah. And the Lord said a flood came and took them all away. My, I marvel at these liberals and these apostates saying there never was a flood, and these things never happened, they're just myths. I marvel at it. I think that they're against it because it's so clearly destructive of their theories of evolution. When you get through with these chapters of Genesis, you have the whole human race coming from Noah and his wife and his three sons and their daughters. Nobody came from monkeys. We're hearing all about, by the way, even these scientists are now trying to push the age of the earth back, not, but bring it down a little closer here. The information they seem to be getting are adjusting their dates. But this idea that somehow or other man came from monkeys or somebody else like that, and the missing link hasn't been found, these early chapters of Genesis destroy any such idea. After the flood, there wasn't anybody left. There weren't even any monkeys left. After the flood, and every creature, every human being, except these eight persons, were dead, that was the end of any theory that there was evolutionary coming up over the centuries, and somehow or other we came out of. And that's why these liberals don't want these early chapters of Genesis, like you and I want them, and to get the benefit of it. But that's the next thing I think we ought to recognize here, that God used water to do it. We're all familiar with water. He just had plenty of it. And he had enough after 40 days and 40 nights of these torrential rains coming down and the deeps being broken up, and so much so that the waters covered the whole earth, even the highest peaks. I can understand why they don't like it. I can understand why they don't want the preachers like us to believe it or preach sermons like this. But I find that the Lord Jesus Christ confirmed them and ratified them. And he knew what happened, and he was there when it all took place, and so he's given us these reports. Now, the next thing I need to recognize for you is that Jesus intended for us to believe them. He intended for us to read them. He intended for us to be informed about the last days, and he's talking about the times when he's going to come again. And then when he said here, as it was in Noah's time, if it looks like it's Noah's time around you, maybe you better wake up. I'm getting ready to come. And I think that this message this morning, as I outline these elements of this passage, should confirm in the hearts of each one of us, and I'll speak of it what we should do when we get to the conclusion of the message. But we've got something to read. We've got something to believe. We've got something to know. We've got something to live by. And as the flood came and took them all away, took them all away. The Lord controls the rain and the storms and the physical disasters. He's got all of them. And these men that say that man came from some kind of a lower, maybe a monkey or something else, or whatever it is, they're talking out of their hearts of darkness and unbelief. They have no evidence, they have no support, there is no missing link, they've never dug that up yet. And yet here they are in these educational institutions, and if anybody wants to have creationism taught in the school, they fight it, and you can't teach creationism, it's out. But these passages that I'm dealing with today were given to us for our day and our time when we begin to see the days of Noah happening around about us, that we're to look up. We're to look up. And the redemption of our body is going to take place very quickly. Believers, Christians, we're not in the dark. We walk in the light as He is in the light. We're not in ignorance. We have knowledge because He's been pleased to give it to us. And when I read these early chapters of Genesis here, which man could never have written, God says in this chapter that I will destroy man whom I have created from off the earth. I. God says, I'm sorry I made him. First person is there all through here. Only God could write it. Only God could have given this account to Moses and have it passed on down to us. But we're dealing now with something very plausible, very present, and should be of great value to our hearts and to our comfort. We all know that we're not of this world. When we received eternal life, the things of this world passed away so far as we're concerned. And we are living each day in the constant assurance that we belong to Jesus. Our lives are His, our times are His, our labors are His, our homes are His, our church is His. Everything we do have to do with Jesus. Now the next thing I want to point out to you is that the conditions which we are witnessing are such that we can look at them and know them. I was amazed this past week when this Orthodox priest over in Philadelphia was kidnapped and brought over to Camden, shot and left for dead, but they didn't kill him. But nobody knows why they're trying to kill that fellow. But everywhere you turn around, even down here in South Jersey, we've had four policemen shot and killed just recently. And people are insecure, and people are afraid, and we've never had it quite like this. There was a day when I was growing up as a boy, you never bothered to lock your back door or your front door. Now you've got to put two locks on them. You've got to make sure they're secure. And we've really found a situation where even the federal government and the men who are trying to straighten out America are talking about getting rid of crime and reducing it and stopping to finance it. And now we're still going to finance, if the president has his way, the payment for killing of babies and all that sort of thing before they're born. We've never had it quite this way. And we can hear it. We can see it. It's on television. It's on the news. It's in the papers, the big headlines. We've never seen it quite this way. And when you look at it, it corresponds. And what did we read in that seventh chapter, that sixth chapter for our lesson? The land was full of evil. Even the imagination of men's hearts were evil. Well, they certainly are now. My. And then the next thing he says, it was violence. Three times in this, but violence, violence, violence was everywhere. The time of the flood. Then I think the most significant thing that's in this whole seventh chapter is they corrupted his way upon the earth. The whole generation, I think there were millions and millions of people living. The earth was not divided till the days of Peleg. That's later. We just had one great mass of earth here, and that earth was filled with millions and millions of people. And all of them were enjoying the wickedness and violence prevailed. I think we're pretty close to it. We're pretty parallel to it. And we Christians can read a story like this and look at things that are happening, listen to the television, look at the newspapers, and the days of Noah have come again. My, I understand it. I think what it means. I can put the two together. The days of Noah have come again. Talk about this reference here, the corrupting the way, the Lord's way. Well, we do have a genealogy in Luke that goes back, clear back to the Son of God. It's a lineal descent with the blood of Christ. And you do have in Luke two references here to this little group of believers. Methuselah was there. Enoch was there. Just stretched out there about five or six generations. But they were believers. And Noah's mentioned in there. And of course, when you get into genealogy, you get to Seth was the one from Noah that extended out. But Genesis does show that there were at least five or six people. Enoch walked with God. I'm going to speak on him tonight, what it is to walk with God. Noah walked with God, and God spoke to him, told him all about the ark, told him it was going to rain, never had rain before, and told him all these things, and Noah began to be this preacher of righteousness. And I'll speak of him as to the message he had and how nobody believed him but his family. But here we have the confirmation of Jesus of what would happen in these last days, and we were to be able to see them, and in seeing them, understand that it's just about over for the old world. It's just about over when we're going to be taken away from here. We'll be taken in an instant. We'll be gathered into the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. The dead will come up first. And if you're going to believe that the dead are come up first and we're waiting on this resurrection, now here's Frank States, has sat with us in all our ministry all these years. He just left last night and went to heaven. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And we're a people who are marching to Zion. We're a people who are going forward on this earth, seeking to maintain a witness and a church and a testimony that's in keeping with the good pleasures of the Lord. That's who we are. We paid a price for it, but now, as it was in the days of Noah, the Lord expected us to know all about Noah and his days, and knowing all about Noah and his days. Isn't it tremendous how these unbelievers want to get rid of the first 10 chapters of Genesis? Just throw it out, they're dismissed. One reason they don't want you to read about it is that the judgments of God are sure. What was this judgment? Everybody was going to die. Everybody was not going to be able to live. The animals wouldn't be here. Nothing could live and survive a flood that covered the mountains, and this earth on which we live was just as water. We've been seeing these sights of the earth from the heavens these last several weeks with our men out there, and they've shown us the picture of the earth once in a while, but what was it like if somebody looked down on this earth and there was nothing but water? Nothing but water. Totally destroyed. You know what that means? That God's judgments cannot be denied. No wonder the liberals don't like this passage. No wonder they didn't want to believe that every human being was destroyed. There was no place for monkeys to come in and produce a human being. No wonder they don't like this passage. But we people do, and we always will do, and always will accept it, because Jesus Christ knew it all. Jesus Christ knew it all. Now God said, Noah, you're a man after my own heart, and I'm going to ask you now if you won't prepare to see yourself delivered from this awful judgment. And that means that believers are always going to be delivered from the awful judgments of God. We're not going through any tribulation. We're always going to be delivered from the wrath and the condemnation of judge. How the Apostle Paul told his Christians there, we've seen it many times in 1 Thessalonians, ye turn to God. Ye turn to God from idols. To serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, even Jesus, whom he raised from the dead, and listen to this, delivered us from the wrath to come. The very first Christians knew that they were delivered from the wrath to come. Well, this ark that God told Noah to build, we think it's over there on one of the mountains. We think we've got pictures of it. It's been preserved. But it was a pretty big ship, about the size of 2 football fields. Had 3 stories on it. And I just wonder how long it took Noah to build that, his carpenters. There he was, this crazy guy, getting some timbers, getting them fixed out, and he had some kind of an architect's plan that he was following, that he got from heaven. And the people mocked him and scoffed at him, and never had rain before. No, I don't believe it rained. The earth was watered by a mist that came up, and they ate the herbs of the ground during that time. But anyhow, they had all the mockings that you could possibly heap upon a crazy and insane man building this big ship there. How he got the lumber and how he got it put in place and how he did. But it was a big ship, twice the size of a football field, we figure, maybe a little larger than that, with 3 stories. And we're told that the people mocked him, this crazy man. But while he was preaching the ark, he was telling them of judgment. Judgment's going to come. The flood's going to come. This is a boat that's going to save me. I got my directions from God, and you've got to look to God. But he preached all his life and never saved anybody but his own family. My, that must have been a lonely preacher. Everybody came to see him. He preached the gospel to them. They looked at the ark. When we get to heaven, we'll find out just how big the ark was, or how long it was, or how long it took him to build it. But it was enough that the whole human race were under judgment because of it. You know what this supports? The literal acceptance of the Scripture. The literal acceptance of the record of the Scripture as to things that actually happened and took place. How many millions of people there were on the earth? We know that the command was given to Adam, multiply and replenish the earth. Just fill it up and then just replenish it and replenish and keep it going and replenish the earth. And of course, then death came as a judgment and it rained, and then when all of them were confronted with the message that they were going to die, they were going to drown, they were going to be flooded out, nobody would believe it. Now here we are, fundamentalists. We're telling everybody alive that there are only two places you go when you die, just two of them. Do nothing and you'll go to hell. But if you accept the Lord, you'll go to heaven. That's all. And we explain it. And then we become believers and Christians, and we want to obey the Lord. We're not of the world. We're not going to desecrate the Sabbath day as being done now. We're going to have homes of prayer and Bible reading. We're going to honor the Lord in every single thing we do. My, we have a short time to honor Him. We ought to make every moment count for Him. Every one of us should do the same, but we're at the very end, down to the very end of this earth. Well, the flood came. I don't know whether any newspapers in those days are not telling the people it started raining. No one might be right. And the flood came 40 days and 40 nights. The details of it. What torrents there were. And they laughed, and then finally some of them guess, well, you know, no, was telling us, he may have been right, and then it got higher, and they climbed up the hills and the mountain, they got to the top, and the water kept coming up, and finally the last one on the top of the mountain was swept away, and they all went. God's judgments are sure. God's judgments are in all the earth. No man can defy God. No man can dismiss God. No man can stand up and laugh at death without realizing that it's universal. And someday it'll take him by the throat or somebody will cut it. We're dealing with the realities of God's judgment against the wickedness of man. Now I can't talk like this. I can't bring in these terrible things and how the Lord says it's all going to happen again without telling you it was the devil. But God started. He tempted our first parents and they yielded. He spent the rest of his time deceiving men, and he's very active today with all his cohorts. He's got millions of his little imps. We're told that one third of heaven emptied itself when he said he's going to sit upon the throne of God. Just how many imps the little devil, the old devil has. Little imps, I don't know, but there's thousands of them. And every lie is of the devil. And this is where the devil reigns. He's the god of this age. And he's the deceiver of mankind everywhere. And the only place where we can get the truth is in Christ. The only place where we know what's right is in the gospel. The only place where you and I have what we need to live and be at peace with God and to take the message that God's given us to the very ends of the earth. And that's us. Now, I want to say a word as I conclude this message. What are we supposed to do about it? First thing, we're to believe the flood. We're to thank God for these early chapters that nobody wants to read. But Jesus said, read them. Read them. You'll understand your times. This should lead you and me to a better and a more vital interest in what the Bible says about these very last days. It does. The second thing we ought to do is to tell these people of the scientific world that say that there's evolution, that they may not know it, but they're on the way to hell and they're going to get there pretty quick. There is no evolution. This passage said, I created man. I made up my mind to destroy the man whom I created. I'm not going to deny that. I'm not going to question that. Then the other thing that I want to mention is that you and I have got to be concerned with the people that are about us that aren't in Christ. We've got to live a life before them that's full of honor and without blame. We've got to be able to speak to them or hand them tracts. We've got to use what we can in these final hours to bring those that are on the road to hell itself out of that pit and into the kingdom of God. That's our great task. That's what God would have us to do. I'm absolutely certain that Jesus is coming very soon. Now the last thing I want to mention is your own home, where you live. When the Lord comes, He's not taking your house with you. In fact, He's not taking anything with you. Don't you think you better make sure it's all cleaned up? There's no magazines around or papers around. People are going to go in and say, that's where Mr. McIntyre lived. Look what he left behind. They won't find anything in my place, I'll tell them that. But you ought to think about your place. And furthermore, there may be some of your family that won't go. And they'll still be left, and they'll come home and say, oh, I guess this is what Mother was talking about. My goodness, I'd better let me get this Bible here and read this thing. Mother was always reading it. Let me see. And your departure could mean that those of your family who aren't quite ready to go would get ready. And they might go into tribulation, but if they do, they won't take a mark on their forehead or in their hands. The beast won't be able to identify them, and then they'll probably get killed. But that'll be all right. They'll go to heaven. Oh, beloved, the ramifications and the fullness of this Christian religion, which you and I have, we've embraced it, we live by it, we thank God for it. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Oh, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. I'm going to close the sermon. You know what it does to me when I preach a sermon like this? My heart just rises up in believing. It just rises up in thanksgiving. My heart just comes out, oh God, I'm yours. You're going to keep me. You're going to use me. And that's all I want. And I want my church to do the same thing. By God's grace.